It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley. And yesterday, we began a brand new series on one of my favorite books in the New Testament. If you missed out on it, go to the website at weneedgod.com and listen to the podcast of yesterday. And you can catch up on any program that you miss by going to the website or catching my podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast, you can do that and catch the program if you do miss it. So today we're going to pick up with verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1, and this is what Paul writes. He says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." So many times when we go through bad times in our life, we face that great mystery of life, why bad things happen to good people. But friend, there is always a purpose behind the pain. In other words, this statement that Paul's making here he says, "Now I want you to know." In other words, this is a passionate plea for him. He wants them to understand that his pain has not been wasted. Paul is telling us that we have to live life with an eternal perspective, not focusing on the present trial, because trials are temporary. They don't last forever. And sometimes it's hard to see that anything good could possibly come out of trials that we're facing in this life. But God not only knows the end from the beginning, but He is the one who holds our future in His hands. The Philippians were no doubt worried about Paul. He was imprisoned. He was under house arrest. And Paul tells them, "I want you to know that something good is coming out of this." Friend, what Satan means for your bad, God has a way of turning it around for your good. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, Paul knew that Christ had already overcome the enemy. And so in Philippians 1:13, he says, "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." In other words, everybody that sees me knows that I'm not losing this battle. I am in chains for Christ. God has a plan, and I'm right in the middle of His plan. I gotta love that about the Apostle Paul. He understood that he didn't have to know all the answers. He didn't have to know the end from the beginning, because God knew all of that for him. Hey, let me read the message for verse 13 here. It says, "All the soldiers here, and everyone else too, found out that I'm in jail because of this Messiah." That piqued their curiosity, and now they've learned all about him. You gotta love that phrase that Paul uses here, "I'm in chains because of Christ." Did you ever stop and think that the very reason you're under such an attack from the enemy is because you have faith in Jesus? Satan doesn't need to attack your neighbor or the person next to you on the job. Maybe he already has them. What he wants, friend, is he wants your faith. There's no doubt in my mind that when Satan attacks me hard, he's going after my faith. Satan wants you to be angry at God, to question God's love for you, friend. I think about when Paul wrote to Philemon, a man who was saved under his ministry. I actually did a Fresh Oil program on this just a while back. Philemon verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. See, he called himself not a prisoner of Rome, but a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And then same thing with the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." See, Paul didn't see himself as a prisoner of Rome. He's not a victim. He's a victor. "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to say, "For the sake of you Gentiles." He says, "I'm suffering this for the sake of you Gentiles." Now let's go on with verse 14. Paul says, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." Oh, how we hate the chains, don't we? But we need to learn to look beyond our chains like Paul did and see what God's doing in spite of what we're going through. Paul said, "Because of my chains, the brothers are being bold and declaring the gospel." Like Joseph when he said, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." We always question why God allowed things to happen in our life, but we need to understand he is saying, "This will all work out for my glory." Friend, I can just imagine when they throw Paul into prison there in Rome, and he's chained between two Roman soldiers, and all of a sudden, Paul starts winning them to Jesus, and then the next crew comes on, and he wins them to Jesus, and before long, God is turning the prison into a church. See, God can turn your prison into a house of worship if you'll only look for the purpose behind the pain. Verse 15, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill." I believe this is a very relevant verse for today. I know there are a lot of charlatans today that have fundraising gimmicks, and it never ceases to amaze me. I'll never forget a preacher who sent me a little packet of dried milk saying, "Please send this back with a $10 gift so I can send it to Africa." I wrote back saying, "Why didn't you just mail it to Africa in the first place instead of sending it to me? I don't like powdered milk." Don't let your life be consumed with worrying about those who do things out of wrong motives. See, Paul goes on in verse 16 and he says, "The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains." Now, let me read this out of the Message, because this is really powerful. I love the Message translation. It's a paraphrase, but it's awesome, written by Peterson. This is what it says. "One group is motivated by pure love, knowing that I'm here defending the message, wanting to help. The others, now that I'm out of the picture, are merely greedy, hoping to get something out of it for themselves. Their motives are bad. They see me as their competition, and so the worse it gets for me, the better they think for them." Christianity should not be a competitive sport. God never intended it to be that way. And then he says this, Philippians 1:18. I love this verse. You're going to want to memorize it. "But what does it matter?" What a great verse. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, Paul says, "I rejoice." See, we can be consumed in our life because some people are getting rich off the gospel, or some people are having bad motives for what they're doing. But listen, Paul says, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that Christ is preached." And then in verse 18, he says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Friend, God has a way of turning your mess into a message. He can turn your trial into a triumph. He will turn you from being a victim into being victorious for his sake. Even though Paul has this confidence that God's going to deliver him from this imprisonment, he still had to face a trial. In verse 20, he says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." You know what Paul's doing here? He's saying, "I want to have a good example. I want to be a good example for the world to see that I am standing for the gospel. I'm standing for the message of Christ." A trial that could result in his death. He just wanted to represent God well, to not cause shame to come upon the cause of Christ. Either way, the outcome, he's like, "I'll be okay with it." Sometimes we can only accept one outcome. You know, we say, "God has to do it this way." But Paul's saying, it doesn't matter how it turns out. We win either way. I love in Daniel chapter 3, remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The king says this to them in Daniel 3:15, "But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, I love this, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. See, I love this. It's called the if not kind of faith. We know our God is able, but even if we don't get out of this furnace alive, we're still not going to bow down to you, king. And then there was Daniel. Daniel in Daniel 6. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. I love that, friend, because Daniel had lived a life before the king to where the king knew that Daniel's God would protect him. Daniel's God would save him. And the king is actually making this declaration of faith. Daniel's amazing faith was contagious. The king's like, I'm throwing you into the lion's den, but I know the God that you constantly serve is going to himself deliver you. And in verse 19 of Daniel 6, then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. He wants to know, did Daniel survive the night? When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? And listen to what Daniel says in verse 22. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And then the king was very pleased, and he gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. Wow. Can you imagine that, friend? In verse 20 of Philippians 1, Paul goes on and says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. See, Paul has the if not kind of faith that the three Hebrew children had. And then comes this famous verse we've heard for so many years, Philippians 1:21. This is the context of it. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, that was Paul's statement of faith regarding the fact that no matter how it turned out, he was going to serve his God. He said in verse 22, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean faithful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. First of all, Paul had already addressed this by proclaiming he was not a prisoner of Rome. He was a prisoner of Christ. And his first and foremost purpose was to submit to whatever God had planned for him. So he goes on to say in verse 23, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. I have been at the bedside of so many dying saints, and we want to pray for them to stay around and hang around. But friend, the best thing for them is to go to be with Jesus. Because to go to be with Christ is so much better. Now let's wind up today. Philippians 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. And then he says in verse 28, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. And then he closes, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had. And now, here that I still have. Walk in grace, friend.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.